There's a fast price wage push, spiral indexation. The church, too, must bear a heavy burden. I quote as an instance our overheads. Cast, if you will, your eyes to the heavens, and you will notice the price of lead has increased remarkably, hence the tarpaulin. And so we find it necessary to remind you of your obligation to the church. Many of you have been less than eager to contribute your tithes, and to this end, our new church ushers will be visiting each and every one of you. I beseech you, do not deny Lefty and Spike, for they are sensitive men, and could easily lose control of the church bulldozer.
It's the all-new first edition Naked Figure Show, starring in order of literary merit, the unexpurgated illustrated drawn Ross Higgins, with the beautiful Moroccan bomb set, Nolene Brown, and the classic comic, Ted Goldby.
And now a word from the Liberal Party.
Fountain pen.
And from the Labour Party.
Biro.
And the National Country Party.
Branding iron.
And the Women's Electoral Lobby.
Eyebrow pencil.
And from the DLP.
Quill.
And finally, from Bob Santa Maria.
Lightning bolt.
Boys and girls, welcome to Chuckle Corner. And here's your chief chuckler, Princess Joyce. Princess Joyce?
What?
The little chuckle chums are all waiting.
The little chuckle chums can all go and get...
We're on the air!
Oh, g'day, little chucklers. Well, here we go on another high-spirited hayride of hilarity, which reminds me it's medicine time. Cheers. How's that? Oh, that's a cheeky little vintage. Well, now it's time for a big chuckle time hello to our resident bundle of fun, Robert Rubber Duck. Hello, Robert.
Hello, Princess. My, oh, my, you're looking
sharp. Shut up. Right on, little chucklers. Let's skip off to Pets Corner and Princess Ralph. Hit the skipping music, Princess Michael. Mercy, that white man's fire medicine had stripped the suede off a desert boot. Anyway, here's Pet's Corner. Take it away, Princess Ralph.
Oh, g'day, Princess Joyce.
How are we in the cold light of the day, then?
Suffering a surfeit of chuckles, Princess.
And how are our old furry little friends?
Chuckle Bunny Lorelei's not real good either.
No, our Pet's Corner friend.
Oh, well, you know that little monster, chuckler Peter Dell?
No.
Well, little Peter Dell's mum wouldn't let him keep his pet, Rover. And in a moment of medicine time madness, I told him to drop Rover at my place and I'd find him a good home.
And did he?
Did he what? Imagine Princess Ralph's surprise when he falls into his morning chuckle bath and finds little Rover splashing about.
Oh, lovely little Labrador puppy playing with a sponge.
A lovely little blue-ring bloody octopus playing with me.
Jeez, that's unusual, Princess Ralph.
Not in my bathroom, it's not. Almost every morning I see some little creature creeping out of the tiles, bats mostly.
And spiders?
Huge pink ones. Well, I spoke very sternly to little Rover from the top of the shaving cabinet. Not before the little bludger bit me.
Oh, struth, Princess Ralph. What was the effect?
Oh, well, he coughed a few times, lay on his back with his tentacles up in the air, looked like a dead pussycat.
Jeez, you were lucky, Princess Ralph.
I owe my life to Princess Wally's homemade medicine, Plastic Bin 69.
Good drop, is it, Princess Ralph?
Is it what? It's great on the rocks. Or you can run your lawnmower on it, but... All's well that ends well.
How's that?
Oh, well, the CSIRO called this morning. They want to plug me into their serum machine.
Well, little chucklers, the march of science goes ever onward thanks to the tireless medicine testing by our own Princess Ralph. Princess Ralph, Chuckle Time salutes you. Cheers. Yeah.
This is Radio Australia, and now we have a special message for our friends in Indonesia.
The peacock lays the golden egg.
And now a message for our friends in East Timor.
The peacock has egg on his face.
Well, here we are again, mate. The one day of the year.
Yeah, the one day of the year. It only seems like yesterday that you and I and Chooker and Robber...
And Purse and Macca.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. Macca. Funny bloke. Yeah. Remember he had that Sheila tattooed on his throat? And when he gargled...
Yeah! Bloody disgusting!
Yeah, it only seems like yesterday we was all together. You know, them against us.
Yeah, they were tough days.
Bloody tough. Look at young Neville over there, long hair.
Yeah.
Thinks he's done his bit.
Yeah.
Couple of years, he thinks he knows what tough is.
Yeah.
He wouldn't know, would he?
Nah.
He don't realise what we've been through.
Not a clue.
I remember, it was just me and Chooker against 5,000 of them.
5,000?
Bloody hell, 5,000. And all we had was an umbrella, and that was fire damaged.
Get up.
True. 8 hours of frenzy, mate. Just thinking of it makes me scar tremble.
Oh, you think you had a tough... Well, I remember one day they came at us. Admittedly, there were more of us three. Mac and me. Not a hatpin between us. And they had to be... 6,000 of them. We weren't expecting them. One of the guards had panicked. And they were on us in a flash, shrieking, screaming. But we took them all day it went. Then suddenly, round about 5, they were gone. You could hear a pin drop.
Yeah, they were tough days, all right.
Blood oath.
They don't have them like that anymore.
Nah.
They was real murder, them winter clearance sales. Let's hear it for Love Song with Faye Lewis.
Have to say may well be simple, but they are true. Until you give your love, there's nothing more that we can do. Behind the life we knew. But there's no other way, so now it's really up to you. Thank you.
Doreen.
Yes, Doreen, what do you want?
Oh, no, I'm not Doreen.
But you just said...
No, I'm Ashley.
Doreen yeah. Ashley, funny name for a boy.
No, sir, my name's Ashley. I've come to pick up Doreen.
Doreen who?
Oh, your daughter, sir.
Oh, so you're Ashley Waterhouse.
Yes, sir.
Well, you better come in, I suppose.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Now, Doreen will be down and... Don't sit there!
Oh, sorry,
it's
sir.
It's my chair. Yes, Doreen's... No, not there. It's my sofa.
Sorry, sir.
Smoke?
Well, yes.
Good thing, too. Bad for your health. You don't mind if I do?
Oh, no, of course.
I shall think not. It's my house, and I'll smoke if I want to. Well, now, sit down.
Well, as you said...
Yes, I forgot. They're all mine. Well, in that case, you better sit on my knee. Sit here on my knee.
No, thank you, sir. I've been sitting all the way over here in the car.
Well, suit yourself, but don't say I didn't offer. Now then, Ashley, so you're taking our little Doreen to the pictures?
Well, yes, sir.
Rated G, is it?
Oh, yes, sir.
Good. Now, look, Ashley, I think I can speak honestly with you. There are just a couple of things that I think I should point out at this stage, and I don't want to embarrass you at all, but your fly's undone. No, it's not. Just my little joke to help you relax. You are relaxed, aren't you?
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, stop fidgeting. You don't want to go wheeze, do you? Suit yourself, but don't say I didn't offer. Now, Ashley, like any sensible parent, I've laid down certain rules concerning young Doreen's social activities.
Oh, sir, I wouldn't...
Wait for it, boy. I haven't got to that bit yet. Now, tonight, you're going to take my little daughter to a drive-in picture show. You know, the ones we take your car.
That's right, sir.
And well, look, Ashley, I was a young man once, and I know the thoughts that travel through a young man's mind.
Oh, no, sir,
but,
no.
And you're going to want to do certain things.
No, sir.
Yes, you will. And I want you to know that my Doreen is not like some other types of girls you may have been with.
Oh, I know, sir.
No, my little Doreen, Ashley, goes off like a rocket.
Pardon, sir?
Like a dunny door, Ashley. She's a raver, a girl. And I want you to respect that. She'll have your clothes off before you've got the loudspeaker in the window. Now, what you're thinking. You're thinking, how does he know all this? Well, I'll tell you how I know all this, Ashley. She tells me.
Does she?
Everything.
Everything?
In minute detail, Ashley. But that won't worry you, will it? Will it, boy?
Yes. No.
Now, you look a bit flushed. Are you sure you're all right?
I don't feel too well, sir.
I think. You know what I think? I think you've got black water fever. What do you think?
I think you're right, sir. I think I'd better go home.
Well, if you think so.
I do, sir. I think I'd better go right now. Goodbye.
Well, here I am. Sorry to have kept you waiting, Ashley. Ashley? Daddy, where's Ashley?
Oh, he's gone. Suddenly came over ill.
Oh, what a shame.
Never mind. Quiet night at home. Why don't you finish off your crochet and I'll write my sermon for tomorrow.
If you think today's forests are ruled by huge diesel monsters, well, you're wrong, because in one remote forest area, the old-style bullock team still exists, as our weekend magazine reporter found out.
Well, June Heavyman reporting from deep within the giant red gum forest of, timber-growing areas of, here. And I'm talking to Fred, better known as Wally Fredericks, the last of the tall timber men. Tell me, Wally, how long have you had bullocks?
As long as I can remember,
June.
Miss June?
Now, Wally, for years, bullock drivers have been renowned for their peppery turn of phrase and their, well, colourfully named bullock team.
Oh, it's not that bad, really.
Oh, well, would you tell me the names of your team?
Well, there's Mary, Elizabeth, Jane, and Slackass.
I think we'll end it there, Wally.
Please yourself.
So this is June Heavyman signing off from Weekend Magazine. Goodbye. Now, Wally.
Yeah?
If you don't stop spitting on my car, I'll run over your bollocks.
To Glitter Time, where we look behind the tinsel to the heartbeat of the gay world of the arts. My name's Peter Mascaro, and my guest today is culture maker and trend marketer, Mr. John Simpleton. Welcome to the show, John.
Hello, Peter, and hello, consumers.
John, your company, Vulgar Incorporated, has created some of the more striking television commercials. Could you explain this genre?
Just plain John, Peter. I don't stand on ceremony, even though I've got a Rolls Royce.
No, no, your work. What is your philosophy?
My philosophy, Peter, is that your basic run of the average mill ocker in the street is a cretinous little worm, incapable of thinking for himself, whose only hobby is chundering on the cat.
Good heavens. That is vulgar.
Yes, it's good, isn't it?
Your techniques differ from other advertisers.
Right. For far too long, the people of this nation have been subjected to puffy-sounding announcers.
John, whom do you mean?
Paul Hogan, Ernie Sigley, Bobo Faulkner, you name them. Puffs, all of them.
Well, how do your techniques differ?
Peter, in none of my commercials will you perceive a girl running slow motion through the forest.
No.
No, it's not real. Very pretty, but they can't identify it. The only thing they understand is blokes shouting their lungs out, pouring beer over their heads, old ladies hitting each other with boxing gloves and singing incomprehensible songs.
I would have thought people would reject that.
Oh, au contraire, Peter, au contraire. They lap it up.
And what of the future? What new productions can we look forward to coming out under the Vulgar banner?
Oh, we'll have the usual team of priests, nuns, prime ministers' wives and footy players flogging fridges and old tyres.
But nothing startlingly new.
Oh, nothing really. I suppose you could say the one with the Pope flogging reconditioned dishwashers could raise a few eyebrows.
The Pope?
Oh, not the real Pope. Oh, good heavens, not the real Pope. You couldn't afford him. We got a black done up as the Pope. Looks like the real thing, but... Of course, to keep in line with trade practices, we've got a little sign saying, Simulated Pope. Flashes up for a few seconds, small lettering. No, I don't know why we bother, really. Most people don't know what simulated means anyway.
Well, putting the simulated Pope to one side for a moment, are there any other famous names we can expect to see popping up in a vulgar production?
Well, Peter, I don't want to preempt the official Buckingham Palace bulletin. However, suffice it to say, there's a certain tyre discount house stocking up on Big Three radial recaps for next March.
You mean that?
That's right, Peter, the ultimate tyre lady.
And the ultimate vulgar production.
Bloody oath.
Thank you, John Simpleton.
I'm not so simple, mate. I'm making a fortune.
And I'm sure that's given us all food for thought. Goodbye from Glitter Time.
Barry Leaf, let's hear it.
Just enough for the city. Welcome to me. I hope you're there. living, here we go, living, just enough for the city boy, living, just enough for the city, living, just enough for the city, living, you're enough for the city, living, just enough for the city, living.
George Laserbeam, well-known Australian international.
I was in Hong Kong to check out a script. And bugger me, a bunch of Lick-Me's Koga Ninja jumped on my back. Well, I did them like a dinner. Later, I relaxed with my cigarette and had a nice long chat. I had to talk to my cigarette, because if you hit the Chinese in Hong Kong, no one else will talk to you.
Now, directing you throughout Australia, live from the glorious ballroom of the Adelaide Abattoirs, we are proud to present the Miss Teenage South Pacific Dream Girl Universal Beauty of Beauties Miss Australia Quest of Quests, Quest! And here's your host, Popping Bob Bravo.
Hi there, and welcome to the Miss Teenage South Pacific Dream Girl Universal Beauty of Beauties Miss Australia Quest. Of the year, for the next 19 boring hours, I'll be presenting some of Australia's loveliest daughters. Yes, they smile, they move, they talk, they cry, and cry, and cry. And you'll cry, and I'll cry, and we'll all have a wonderful time. So before we go any further, let's have a big hand for me. Oh, I don't deserve you, you're wonderful. Now, let's meet our first contestant.
And here she is, Tricia Bunyan, infant school teacher from the Kimberley Ranges. Tricia enjoys horse riding and Valium.
Okay, Tricia, first a general knowledge question for you, honey. Who owns the Sydney Opera House?
Come on.
She's right! Let's hear it for Patricia! Doing, Tricia, honey?
Traveling.
And?
And meeting people.
She's right! Let's hear it for her! Thank you, Tricia. Next!
And here she is, Charlene Foolscap, infant school teacher from the Dandenong Rangers. Charlene enjoys riding with bikey gangs and Valium.
Hi there, Charlene, honey. But before we go any further, a quick general knowledge question. Who owns the Sydney Opera House?
Can I have the question again, please, Bob?
No! Next! Oh, before you go...
Yes?
What do you like doing?
Meeting people.
And?
Traveling.
You do! Next!
And here she is, Gaylene Gravel, infant school teacher from Mount Tambourine. Gaylene's only got one hobby, Valium.
And
good girl! My, isn't she a pretty customer? Oh, not like the other dogs. Well, let's hear it for Gaylene. And now, the moment you've all been waiting for, the final judging. The announcement will be made by the Premier. Hi, Mr. Premier. Gee, those are nice shorts you've got there.
Oh, thank you, Bob.
I bought your record.
Oh, so it was you.
Here's the envelope, Mr. Premier, if you'd read it.
Go placidly, for you are a child.
No, the name.
Oh, the winner is...
Drum roll.
Tudor Pressseal.
The card, not the envelope, Doc.
Oh, the winner is Gaylene Gravel.
Crown, I name you Miss Teenage South Pacific Dream Girl Universal Beauty of Beauties Miss Australia Quest of Quest Quest winner!
Thanks, Dad.
So, Mrs. Lassen, well done. Now,
Jeff Goldsby, the best each way Beth Nolene Brown, and the heavy going in the wet Rob Higgins. The Long Odds Double J Band is under the musical direction of the maiden 2-year-old Michael Bajak. Noises and other sound effects were made by the top weight parade, John McGraw, Ron Wendell, and Janine Chapman. This show is recorded by the consistent stayers Mike Byrne, Keith Walker, and Chris Strome. The production was coordinated by the correct weight Sue Russell. Written and produced by the late scratchings Gary Riley and Tony Sadler. Julianne Ford took off her feedback to the executive producer. The Naked Vigor Show is an RSABC production and available for stock purposes.
Earlier in this program, mention was made of a simulated pope, and in response to thousands of justifiable complaints, we'd like to assure you that it wasn't a simulated pope. It was, in fact, Lionel Rose dressed up as the pope. Which, of course, is ridiculous. No offense, Lionel, but it is. No, it wasn't Lionel Rose at all. It was Joan Sutherland. No, it wasn't. It was Margaret Whitlam in a Skippy suit. Again, it was Skippy in a Margaret Whitlam suit, which is ridiculous. I'm sorry, Skippy, but it is. We must be honest. It was Tamara Fraser in Doug Anthony's gumboots, and didn't she look wonderful? How about that for a sneaky piece of ABC left-wing bias?